What's up?
Hey.
Welcome back to the Blues Library Podcast. I'm Ashley, and I'm joined by my lovely co-host, Lexi.
Hello.
Today, we're going to talk about a book that we've been waiting for. The Russians book. Lexi, go ahead and tell us the name and title.
It is Isn't It Bromantic by Lissa K. Adams. It is book number 4 in the Bromance Book Club series. And then the spoiler warnings, obviously. So the next one hasn't come out yet. So you're at the end if you're here. Hopefully you've read it all. If not, I don't know what to tell you. For trigger warnings, we've got car accident, death of parents, grief, kidnapping, sex trafficking. So if any of that bugs you, probably should find another one to listen to.
So let's hit the synopsis. Vlad and Elena got married 6 years ago because Elena wanted out of Russia after the death of her dad, and they loved each other but didn't think that the other person felt the same way. They've kissed once. It was on their wedding day. After they got to America, Elena was really distant from Vlad, and he didn't know how to act around her. Eventually, Elena said she wanted to go to school for journalism. That's what her dad did and how he ended up dying, but she wanted to do it in Chicago. While Vlad played hockey in Nashville. So Vlad lets her go to find herself and heal from her father's death, hoping that she would come back, but they haven't seen each other in a really long time. Vlad tells Elena that after she finishes school, he wants to have a real marriage. Elena shows up at Mac's wedding and tells him that she can't do that and that she's going back to Russia to be a journalist. Vlad kind of shuts down for the next 6 months, backing away from the book club and Elena and just focusing on hockey. One night during a game, Vlad gets hurt and ends up breaking his tibia, which is one of his shin bones. Elena gets called to come be with him since his family can't come from Russia fast enough, so she gets on a flight from Chicago to Nashville to go help Vlad. Vlad has his surgery, and when he wakes up, Elena is there. He tells her that she can't stay with him, but doesn't tell her that it's because his heart wouldn't be able to take her staying for now and then leaving. Elena goes to his house and meets the loners, which are a group of friends Vlad has in his neighborhood, and all of their husbands are either dead or they're divorced. Elena cleans the house up so that the team can come put rehab stuff in it, and then she goes back to the hospital. Vlad and Elena talk, and Vlad tells her that he would love it if she stayed. They go back to the house, and Elena takes care of Vlad, making him his favorite Russian dishes while also lusting after him but keeping it a secret. Of course, Vlad is doing the same thing to her. He needs help taking a bath and doesn't want to put Elena out and make her uncomfortable. So he calls Colton, one of the book club guys, to come help, and everyone in the book club shows up. He tells them about the book that he's writing. Spoiler alert, it's a romance. And they decide that they want to help him write it. Elena and Vlad get closer, but they also push each other away. Elena wants to make a special Russian dish for a watch party that they're hosting to watch Vlad's team in the Stanley Cup, but she doesn't have the right cheese. And she brings this up to Alexis at her cafe. Alexis tells her to ask Vlad about the cheese man. When she does, Colton is there, and they decide to go visit the cheese man, who runs an underground cheese shop that is meant to fuck over Big Cheese, which is like Big Pharma, but like for cheese. The cheese man is also attractive, and Vlad gets a little jealous, but Elena gets the cheese she needs and invites the cheese man to the watch party. At the watch party, the women swoon and fawn over the cheese man, and all of the men get jealous. When the cheese man goes to kiss Elena, she moves her head to the side so that he kisses her cheek, and Vlad stands up and kicks everyone out. They have a sweet moment, but they both get scared and go to their own rooms for the night. The next day, Elena tells Vlad that she overheard him with his dad after their wedding, telling Vlad that he needs to tell Elena that the reason he proposed was because his mom told him to. Elena feels guilty and ashamed, and that's why she was so distant over the last 6 years. Elena tells Vlad that she wanted him to kiss her for a long time. They kiss. It's super cute. Vlad tells Elena that they have to stop, and he tells her that he's a virgin. And he has been waiting for his first time to be with her. Elena and Vlad argue, and Elena leaves to stay at a hotel and go back to Russia. Again, every time they have an argument, she threatens to go back to Russia. It's kind of annoying. The next day, Elena shows up at Michelle's house. Michelle is one of the loners, and Elena tells Michelle that she can date Vlad if she wants to. Michelle tells her that Vlad has loved her for a long time, and that's why he joined the book club. Elena didn't know about the book club, and she thinks it's super sweet and decides to go all in with Vlad. The book club shows up at Vlad's house. They talk about how Vlad messed up the day before by basically blaming Elena for his being a virgin, and they decide to have a dinner that night, just Elena and Vlad. When Elena shows up, she looks mad hot. They kiss and end up having sex. They decide to be together, like, for real. And it's super cute. Elena has been working on the story that her dad ended up dying while trying to finish. And she ends up getting a lead, but she has to go back to Russia to get the information. She tells Vlad about this. He tells her some hard truths and that she won't find what she's looking for by finishing the story. Elena leaves to stay in a hotel before she goes back to Russia the next day. But Vlad's words keep running through her head. She decides that he was right, and when she goes to go back to Vlad's house, she's kidnapped. The kidnapper threw her phone out the window, but she still has her burner phone that she uses to contact people about the story. She also finds out that the person behind all the human trafficking of Russian and Ukrainian girls is her godfather, and he's going to have her killed so that he doesn't get caught. She gets her burner out of her pocket and texts Vlad the word sparrow, which is an emergency word that she told him about earlier. Then she calls 911 and starts talking to her kidnapper while trying to allow 911 to kind of get all the information to help find her. The kidnapper catches on. They get in like a fight. She ends up knocking him out. She gets in the driver's seat and then she tries to leave, but she gets in a car crash. Vlad shows up at the hospital without his crutches and they have a really cute reunion moment. They decide they want to have a big wedding and get married for real, and they live happily ever after. The end.
Yay.
So, Lexi, what'd you do with your makeup today?
Well, I'm going to tell the full story. I was originally, and I'm not even going to attempt to say the name of this cheese because I'm going to fuck it up so bad. But the Russian farmer's cheese that she needed for the recipe that she went to the cheese man to get, I was going to do it. Now, in this, she had said originally, well, I couldn't find this cheese anywhere, so I just substituted it for ricotta cheese. I, not thinking that much of it, was just thinking, oh, maybe it's like a taste type of thing or whatever, not thinking texture. So I was like, oh, I'm just going to do this cheese. I look up pictures of this cheese, and I was like, that's not going to come across looking very well without any context, so we're going to skip to something else. So I was trying to find colors that like matched with orange and wasn't going to be like a weird football team for the football team I have here. So I was like, fuck. So I did silver, just a silver background. And then I put as like a liner with the wing being orange for the cheese. And fittingly enough, the name of the eyeshadow color I used was called cheese dust. So
that's pretty funny, actually.
So that's all I did.
It is really cute. I like it. I think it's cute.
Thank you. I actually really loved it. And I was like, oh, maybe I'll do that for my makeup tonight. We'll see.
So for mine, I decided to do basic ass American cheese. Fight me. I was deciding to be basic. Okay. So I did like a gold, like a matte gold. And then I did like a sparkly gold on my cut crease inner corner with like a really long black wing. Originally, I was going to like make the wing have little like holes in it, you know, like cheese. Yeah. It looked like shit. So I filled it in. On the other side, I did a white with a silver, like white and silver sparkles with like kind of a darker outer corner to like give some depth. And I did a wing on that side too, but I did like a black and white alternating stripes kind of thing. And I did the silver and white for their marriage, but then I did the black and white intertwining and like kind of swirling around each other to indicate them actually coming together after their marriage, and that they're both kind of like different things. But yeah, that's what I did.
They both look so pretty.
I know. We did some good wing work today.
I was very surprised. Mine came out, I mean, it wasn't the best, but I'm not good with winged liner. That's why I never do winged liner. If you ever see me with winged liner, it's because somebody else did it for me. I suck at wings. So I was really surprised when it turned out the way it did. I was like, yes.
All right. Let's hit discussion questions, Lex. What did you think of Elena at the beginning of the book, and did it change throughout the book?
At first, I was like, okay, I like her. And then I think I was about four chapters in, and I texted Ashley before she'd even started. And I was like, Elena's pissing me the fuck off. She pissed me off throughout the book. And then towards, like, when her and Vlad finally started communicating just a little bit, it wasn't very much, but a little bit, I was like, okay, I can get on board with this. And then I went back to hating her because I was like, why are you fucking threatening to leave? Like,
I got mad every time she fucking threatened to leave. And every time there was, like, any sort of problem, she's like, I'm going back to Russia. And I was like, why are you running away?
Like, I'm sorry, but if you guys used to be, like, best friends, then you should be able to fucking talk.
Exactly. I was like, this is stupid. I hate miscommunication tropes. And, like, this used Same. It consistently. Like, it pissed me off.
Yeah. I'm okay with it if it's, like, maybe one thing and then they learn from it. They're like, okay, we need to learn to communicate better. Fair. Okay. But when it's the entire fucking thing, if it hadn't been for us doing this for the pod, I would have DNF'd it. And that's telling you something, considering that for every fucking episode we've had with this series, I've been like, I want a Vlad book. I want a Vlad book. I want a Vlad book. I fucking love the Russian. I want his book.
Exactly. I totally agree.
And it wasn't just on her side either, which really irritated me, because I was like, come on, Vlad. Like, you're the one that's, like, the most insightful during most of the other fucking problems. Like, you know better. Come on.
I agree. I totally agree. Like, at the beginning, I was like, there's some sort of trauma, like something is making it so that Elena is not talking. And then when she, like, keeps threatening to, like, leave, I was like, listen, Linda, I'm getting over, like, I'm over all of this. I'm threatening to leave because you're not treating me how I was expecting or wanting to be treated. And it wasn't even that he was treating her badly. Like, he was treating her well and she wasn't expecting it.
The problem was, is that it was like, she just expected him to know when she's never really did or done anything to show that she wanted to be with him in a romantic relationship. And she expected him to just know that. And that's one thing that really fucking irritates me, is when people expect you to be a fucking mind reader. It's like, I can't read your goddamn mind.
I totally agree.
You have
agree.
To fucking tell me in order for me to actually do something.
I agree. And then it,
like, heated up.
It pissed me off because she was like, he doesn't want me that way. And I was like, how did you interpret him saying, I want a real marriage? Like, how?
And then, like, he was trying to be, like, and I understand, he should have probably, not probably, he should have told her sooner. But at the same time, I can also understand the fact he was trying to respect the fact she wanted to go to school.
Yeah.
The school she wanted to go to was in Chicago. He was still taking care of her. He was still, you know, like, all these things. And it was like, okay, like, I understand, you know, but at the same time, it's like, hey, he was trying to respect you and what you were telling him you wanted. Like, half of this is your fucking fault.
I agree. And that's not to say it's not Vlad's fault, but we'll get there.
Well, that's why I said half of it.
Yeah. Every time that Elena decided she wanted to leave, pissed me off. I was like, you're going to fucking run away from your problems. Like, this is not how adults behave. This is not how 32-year-old women deal with their problems. You don't run away from your problems. You deal with your problems. Like, I'm 23 and I know that. So that ticked me off. But then after her, like, going to Michelle and saying, like, you can date him, and when she, like, came to the realization that Vlad actually does want her and has wanted her for years, that's when I was like, okay, maybe she'll get over all of this shit. And then she was like, I need to go back to Russia. And I was like, why do you keep having to go back to Russia?
I understand, like, it's probably because there's a lot of things because, you know, her father disappeared. I get that aspect of it. But it was also, like, the fact that, like, I don't understand why she expected him to not freak out and to not be offended and thinking that it was, you know, like, he did something wrong or whatever, that she's not choosing him, because she had used it for the entire book as a threat.
Yeah.
And so now when it's this time, when it's like, it's an understandable situation. You wanted to go, you were going to be gone for a week. You wanted to go figure out what was going on with your father. I get that. If my father just randomly fucking disappeared, I'd want to know too. I'd probably go digging where I shouldn't be digging like she did. It's like the wolf, or the boy crying wolf or whatever.
Yeah.
You do it, you do it, you do it. And then all of a sudden it's like, okay, well,
you haven't left yet, and you keep saying you're going to.
Yeah, and then it's also like, if you're actually gonna leave, and then things were good, like, how is he supposed to expect that, like, you're actually gonna come back?
Yeah.
Oh, okay, I'm getting way too heated for this.
Okay, let's do the next one.
What did you think of how the romance book was entwined with this book? The book that he was writing instead of them picking a book.
I liked that it was different, and I thought it was interesting, because the two times that they've used a book in the past, it's been, oh, we're reading this book, and it gives you excerpts. But I thought it was interesting that this book, because it wasn't finished, they were kind of talking to him about oh, this is how it should go, and it gave him t like it was very much a reflection of what was going on with him and Elena, and it was kind of obvious at that. But I liked how it was a point for them to talk about Elena and his relationship without it being about him and Elena's relationship. I liked that. I did not like the book.
I felt like we were able to get into a little bit more because Vlad wasn't even within his thoughts, wasn't really like what his true feelings about it were. So I felt like we got to see more of what he was thinking
I
of
would
like,
agree.
oh, she's like, if she had to choose between the two, she would never choose me.
Yeah, I agree. I think that's a great point. It did bring up a lot. What did you like? Did you like how this one was done as opposed to the others?
I'm gonna be completely honest. I started out reading all of those sections where it was with the books, and then it slowly got to just skimming and picking up just the most important parts of those books. Because I
Yeah.
then got to the point where I was like, I want to read about the couple. Moving on.
I feel I started getting like I was honestly I was shocked when they first kissed in this book because I was like expecting it to be like way later. Also, like my book was fucked up, so like I didn't have an accurate point of where I was in the book. For those of you that don't know, which is everybody except for you,
Everyone
Lexi,
except for
but
yeah,
when
and
I
my
got my
mom.
book, okay, literally I have my book in front of me, right? I ordered it on Amazon. And I opened it to start reading it, and the first chapter, it starts on chapter 4. And so I didn't know, I was like, what? I can't fucking read this book if it starts on chapter 4. That's not how it works. So Lexi took screenshots of all of her the first three chapters in the prologue and sent them to me so that I could read it. And I was like, I'm so mad. It starts on fucking page 59, so 60 pages of the book I didn't have.
I still think it's fucking hilarious.
I think it's funny because I never have dealt with a misprint before, like an obvious one that isn't able to be fixed. And I was like, well, maybe they put it in the back of the book. Nah, fam, they did not.
Remember, I'm sitting there screenshotting it, and the whole family's together. We're about to eat dinner. And my mom goes, "What are you doing?" I was like, "Ashley needs these chapters." She goes, "Are you screenshotting the entire book? Did she not get it?" I'm like, "No, she's missing chapters, mom." She goes, "What?" I was like, "The book, it's a misprint." And she goes, "What do you mean?" And I
Yeah.
was like, "Mom, this shit happens sometimes." She was like so baffled.
Yeah, I was too. I was like, Jacob, look.
The weird part was is that they had put those pages in front, didn't they? Where it was like the acknowledgement or whatever.
No, none of it.
Oh, just the
It's
first page was just
you
chapter
open the
four.
cover and it's like the middle of a chapter.
Oh, gotcha. Okay. Oh, I see. I didn't know it was in the middle of the chapter. So when you were showing me on FaceTime, I thought it was like that whole thing in the beginning. I'm like, how did they miss three whole chapters?
What did you think of Vlad at the beginning, and did that change during the book?
Obviously, if you haven't, I mean, if you haven't been here for the last
We fucking love
Romance Book
Vlad.
Club
This is
series,
a
you know I love
Vlad-loving
him.
podcast.
Yeah, you know I fucking love him. I still loved him throughout this book, and I think had we gotten more of Elena in other books, I probably would have liked her still and just been just annoyed instead of being like, I just want him to find somebody else. There were points where he was irritating me because he wasn't communicating either. And I think from what we know about Vlad, especially from the rest of the
Vlad.
episodes. Yeah. I'm tired, leave me alone. So what we know about him from the other books and stuff is he's very insightful. He's very good. He just knows what to do, right?
Yeah.
So it was a little frustrating for me when he wasn't communicating, and then some of the fights that they had, he was not he was ever he had very good intentions,
Well, he was like half communicating his thoughts. Like he was communicating half of them.
But I think like where most of the fights came out, like especially like with the virgin thing, I think it just it came out wrong.
Yes.
I don't think he was like meaning to just which blame then her. Upset me because I was like, no, Vlad, this isn't you.
I agree.
Because like, I was like, come on. Like, and so it was just there were times where I was very frustrated, but like, Vlad still has my heart. I love him.
I was expecting a lot more comedy for this book. Like, I felt like it wasn't as funny as Vlad has been in the other books. Granted, he is a really emotional guy. Yeah.
He is going through a lot. Ashley, leave him alone.
True. So I guess I can't say nothing. But it was, we love Vlad. Vlad is king. But I guess, like, through the book, it gave him more dimension, and it was dimension that I wasn't expecting because there was, like, almost no comedic relief,
mm-hmm.
which made it, like, a very heavy book to read, which I did not enjoy.
Yeah. How did you feel about Elena and Vlad and their relationship? Did it change from the beginning to the end?
I think we kind of already touched on this. I was upset about all of the miscommunication and all of the, I'm going back to Russia, and them half communicating with each other and not telling each other like the full extent of what's going on. I really, really, really loved the conversation that they had right at the end about him saying like, you're not like finishing this story is not going to make your dad remember all of your birthdays or make your dad like all of this stuff is not going to make sense. And it's not going to be better now. And I loved that because, like, sometimes you need a hard truth. And the person to get it from is a person that you love because you know that they're not saying it out of, like, anger or frustration or anything like that.
Tough love is sometimes needed.
Yeah, absolutely. What did you think?
At the end, when Vlad was like, you're chasing a ghost and I can't compete with a ghost.
Fucking
I
loved.
Felt that. So I felt that because, and I'm not going to just expose everything. One of the relationships I was in, I had to basically do that. There was an ex-girlfriend who had died. They were not over it. And I felt like the entire relationship, I was competing with her. It's a sucky place to be. Honestly, because then it's like you don't necessarily like the person, but then you feel bad or you don't like the fact that you're like, I'm fighting with like something that's not even like physically here. And then it's like you feel bad because then you have like all these negative thoughts about it. And it's like, oh, my God. So like I really like I did understand where Vlad was coming from, where he was really frustrated with it.
Yeah.
And so like the majority of the book, I'll be completely honest, I was like, they just should not be together.
I agree. I was that way the whole time. Like, I was like, they can't communicate like adults. How are they going to have, like, a healthy relationship?
And then, like, I was really confused because I was like, if you guys were, like, and I understood, like, you know, she misunderstood the conversation between what was happening between Vlad and his father.
Yeah.
But instead of, like, actually having a conversation with her childhood best fucking friend, she just runs away.
I know, that pissed me off.
And then it's, and this is, I have a problem, like, if there's a problem going on in a relationship, no matter what type of relationship it is, if you just keep running away and you keep ignoring it and you don't actually solve the fucking problem, and even, like, if you just go, oh, okay, it's okay, let's not talk about it, let's just move on, there's still the problem, and it's gonna come up later.
Yeah, I agree.
And so I just felt like the entire time, I was like, this relationship is, like, there's nothing good is going to come out of it. And so, like, at the end, I was very happy with, like, the fact that they both were like, hey, we both fucked up.
I agree. That was very nice.
There's been books where I've read where it's, like, only one person's like, yeah, I really fucked up. It's all my fault. And I'm like, no, it was both of your fucking faults. So I really liked that it was, like, it's not just his fault or her fault. And they both were like, this is how we're going to fix it.
Yes. I really liked that part of this book. What were your thoughts on the cheese man?
Fucking love. I oh my God, I just fucking loved it. And I can't remember what book it was that I read where it was like one of the best friends was all like, oh, look, I'm going to show you. He's going to get so jealous and like played up this whole like, oh, I'm into you or whatever. It did happen with Connor and Hunter. Hunter was like, or Connor was like totally hitting on Demi, and then Hunter finally realized or whatever. But it's also like, I felt like that's what kind of happened at the party was Cheeseman was like almost trying to push a little bit.
Yeah,
I
I
don't even
agree.
think that it was like necessarily like a, oh, I'm gonna take his wife.
No, I think it was a they obviously love each other and they need a little bit of help to get there.
Yeah. So I fucking loved the Cheeseman. That was like probably my favorite fucking part about all of
Oh my
this.
God, my favorite part was his rant about Big Cheese. And like he's like, "Do you know how many times they milk cows here?" Like, three times. And she's like, "How many times are you supposed to a day?" He's like, "Two." Oh, okay.
Or at the party when they're all telling Vlad, they're all like, "Why are you so upset?" And then he goes over to Malcolm's wife and he goes, "I'll break his balls."
I loved it. God, it was some of the like instead of Vlad being the comedy, it was like the cheese man was the comedy. And like
Yeah.
I was like, "Oh my God."
And the fact that they call him the cheese man
I
too.
know, like the cheese man has no name. The cheese man is just the cheese man.
All right. What are your favorite quotes or lines? I didn't highlight or write anything down, so I'm gonna just roll with Ashley on this one.
Okay,
Just
I
go with the
have a
flow.
solid one, okay, that I took a picture of. Actually, no, I have two. My bad. Oh, when they're like at the diner and Colton is like, "You're such a wuss." Or like he says, "Maybe Tony was a wuss," like talking about the book that he was writing. And Malcolm's like, "That's a gendered insult that you need to erase from your vocabulary, Colton." He's like, "What? No, it's not. I use that word all the time." He's like, "It's merging wimp with pussy, and it's used to describe weak men with an implication of effeminacy, which is like being effeminate, which is feminine. You can trace its roots to both misogyny and homophobia." The guys all stared in reverent silence. Sometimes Malcolm morphed into a professor, and they all learned something that made them better men. Our society has allowed men to get away with a lack of emotional intelligence by equating the expression of a full range of human emotions with femininity. Like, I thought that was cool. Like, obviously, I'm a dying feminist, so I was for that. And then the next one was she's getting all dressed to go over to dinner with Vlad, and they're like putting her in like a sexy dress or whatever. She's like, "I think this is too obvious." And Claude goes, "Men don't do subtleties, honey. You have to hit them over the head with things. And even then, you have to give them an explanation of why."
Can we just quickly talk about for a second? This is not my question, but like I only like slightly liked Claude by the end. But like she fucking pissed me the fuck off. I
Why?
remember texting Ash. No, I remember texting you. Did you not get
Yeah,
that
you
text where
did.
I said I
I
fucking
did.
hate
And like,
her?
I was like, I never got to that point.
Dude, she just irritated the fuck out of me.
Like,
I
to
was
me,
like,
she was just like a big mama bear that didn't want Vlad to get hurt. So, like, I didn't
but
hate
see,
her.
and here's the problem though, is you can't just take from one side because let's be completely honest here. There's two sides to every single story, and the truth is somewhere in the middle because
Yeah.
everybody has their own perspective. And so for me, it was like really irritating where I was sitting there like, first of all, you're acting like Elena tried to kill Vlad when that was never her intention, and I'm pretty sure Vlad never fucking told you anything like that was that fucking bad. Just knowing who Vlad is and how he is, there's no fucking way. But then at the end, I was like, okay, I like you. I like you.
I loved the she's gonna hex me and I'm gonna wake up with boils tomorrow and like all those that they're like having Russian conversations like to talk to each other without everybody hearing.
Or
I loved
anytime
it.
Claude came in the room and she was like talking about like the hair on the back of her neck prickling and
Yes.
she knew who came in.
I loved it.
Oh my God. Did you expect that it was going to be Elena's godfather that was going to be the one that had
Actually, no.
killed her father and then also kidnapped her?
No, also, I didn't expect her to be kidnapped at all. Like, I was like, holy fuck, this turned into like a spy movie real quick. But like, I was shocked. Like, I was like, holy fuck, like, this is not what I was expecting at all. And then like, it made sense why he was asking, like, are you talking, like, are you into what your father was like doing right before he died? And like, all of this stuff. It made sense. Like, I was not expecting it at all.
I was so shocked. And then like towards the end where he was like, "Hey, like he was like, and she was like, he was your best friend. And he was like, that's what made it so hard for me. And he goes, and I didn't want to do this for you. I tried to look out for you. And I was just like, what the fuck?
Yeah.
And like, you don't almost kidnap somebody that you promised to look after. It's not how this goes.
I was shocked. Like, I did not see it coming at all.
Same. I realized we never texted about that. So I was like, I need to ask.
What were your overall thoughts on the book?
I liked this book. Even though I probably would have ended up DNFing it if I wasn't having to read it for the pod. Which, I'm glad I finished it, because I think overall it was a pretty good book. It's not one of my absolute favorites, which makes me sad because I was really fucking hoping for more. But I don't think it was the worst book I've ever read by far either, so.
I gave this book a 3. I really loved all of the Russian influence, because both of the characters are Russian. I loved the fact that it kind of teaches you a little bit about Russian culture while also reading, like, a romance book, which I really like. I'm a big learner. I think the problem that I had with this book is I was expecting a lot, and it didn't meet my expectations. Mm-hmm. When we read the next one, we're going to have to, like, rate all of the books that we read, like, all the books in this series. But, like, this one was almost, like, my least favorite in the series, just because, like, it wasn't at all what I feel like the other books brought to the table. But I liked it still. Like, I love Vlad, and I love, like how they got together, if that makes sense, and, like, them overcoming all their problems. But I feel like I didn't like it as much as the others.
Fair. Going back to the whole Russian culture, I just want to say, so we have one of our massage therapists at work. She's Russian.
Mm-hmm.
And she makes all these Russian desserts for our team meetings and stuff. Holy fuck. I've had some of the stuff that's in here in this book.
Damn.
And it's so fucking good. 10 out of 10. If you find a fucking recipe and you can make it, do it. It's so fucking good. Never tried it with sour cream on top, but I'm also not a huge fan of sour cream though, so.
I love sour cream.
I like it in certain things, but, like, if I can just taste straight sour cream, I'm like, eh.
Okay, no. So when we go to, like, Mexican restaurants, I'll get, like, a side of sour cream, and they'll bring, like, a bowl of sour cream or whatever. And I'll take a bite of my food, and then I'll get, like, a fork full of sour cream and just, like, put that in my mouth, too, and just eat it all.
I can't relate to that.
It's so good.
But anyways, yeah. So if you ever can try any of these things in here, or any Russian dish, 10 out of 10 recommend. So fucking good. What do you think happens next?
So obviously the next one is a Very Merry Bromance. This one comes out on November 1st of 2022. So it comes out in a couple months.
Birthday month.
It's after my, it's between our birthdays.
Oh my God. It's literally the halfway point.
It is.
I don't know if it's exactly, but it's basically rough, like, right around the midway point.
I'm gonna have to do this math real fast. So I think what happens next is Colton's book, and I think Colton gets to be with Mac's assistant, and I'm hoping that's what it is, because listen, this is like the second time I brought up Mac's assistant, like, getting a book, and I want it so bad. So, like, I hope that's what happens.
Who did you say it was again?
Colton and Mac's assistant.
Okay. I know who it is.
Who is it?
Do you really want me to tell you?
Yes.
Gretchen.
Gretchen.
The Who's immigrant Gretchen? Attorney?
Oh!
The one that Mac was originally dating, and then he was surprised that Liv was with her. Like, best friends with her. Oh my God, that's great.
I did not see that coming at all. I was like, who the fuck is Gretchen? That's gonna be cool, though.
I thought it was gonna be, like, Colton and Michelle, maybe.
That's what I thought, too. Or, like, one of the other girls.
Mm-hmm.
Like, who was it that he was flirting with, like, the whole time?
Andrea.
Oh, yeah.
Colton.
Okay, 50 days. So, 25 days after October 7th is November 1st. It's literally halfway.
That's We're gonna like let's do like make that one like our little like birthday party like podcast episode. We'll each have like a cake, celebrate our birthdays together, we'll and then read this book.
Happy birthday to us.
Yes, let's do it, please. That's our new plan.
Fuck yeah. Be prepared, guys. The one that comes out on Halloween, we're gonna have like our birthday party thing.
Yep. Oh my god, okay. That's so funny.
Dude, I'm so glad I did that math. Whoa.
But imagine you wouldn't have done it had I not said, oh, that's the halfway point. Exactly. And I guessed and I got it right.
Dude, we're bomb. Okay.
Oh, that's funny.
Okay, Lexi, what did you read / watch this week?
Well, I started a bunch of books and got to 60% before Ashley made me stop and read something else. And then 60% of the way through made me stop again and read something else. And then I tried to go back last night to finish these books because I was like, I have to have something completed for this pod. And I was so fucking bored. I couldn't fucking finish them. I'm a mood reader, okay? So I did not read anything this week, or other than the Isn't It Bromantic? So, but I did listen to a lot of my murder podcasts. I watched a bunch of weird shit on, oh, wait, I don't know how, okay? This is going to be a fun story for all of us to figure out how this happened. There's nothing that would have happened that would have caused me to have in my recommended for you list on YouTube a video informing me about exactly what happened when SeaWorld Will Tillicum killed the trainer, Dawn. I can't remember her last name. I was tired. I was like, sure, let's watch it. Let's see what happened. Watched it. Then all of a sudden got down this little rabbit hole of all this shit for orcas. No, there's nothing that's happened that would have ever made that be a recommended for you thing. Nothing. I've never watched anything about fucking whales.
Did you ever talk about whales around your phone?
No.
Dude, the only thing
I could think of is a brief little mention during one of the Shark Week shows about how because of the orcas, the sharks don't go to Seal Island anymore to breach the water. Because there's so many orcas there and orcas kill great whites. That's the only thing. But it was like one word amongst all these shark things and all this stuff, which I would have expected sharks to be on my thing.
That's weird as fuck.
So along with that, my sister made me watch The Dark Knight with her. And then we also... Batman? Yeah.
I love that movie.
And me too. And then we've watched a lot of Shark Week. So that's been... And then weird random movies here and there when Justin and Caitlin have been over. So...
So my family was here. So we watched Project Adam on Netflix. It was really good. The little boy, like young Adam in that movie, is actually going to be Percy Jackson in the Percy Jackson Disney Plus adaptation. So okay. I'm pretty fucking stoked about that. He's a good little actor. Also Ryan Reynolds is in it. And then we watched The Imitation Game. That's like breaking the Enigma, which was the unbreakable code that Germany used in World War II. It was really interesting. I love that movie. I've seen it before. But then we watched Encanto because Encanto is life. And I'm currently watching The Umbrella Academy still. I don't know.
What the fuck is The Umbrella Academy?
So it's like this like billionaire adopted like 7 kids. And they were all born because their moms woke up that morning and were not pregnant, but ended up giving birth that day. So they like spontaneously became pregnant and they all have superpowers. And they're like trying to stop the end of the world. It's pretty interesting.
Interesting.
Also, it's got like one of my favorite actors in it. So, yeah.
Okay.
All right. Books that I read. Filthy Dark by Serena Ackroyd. 5 Points Mob. I think this was like book 2 or 3. Because I need to like read this series so that when Filthy Feck comes out, which I think it's already out, that I can read that. Next I read Stag by Brooke Summers. This book was dark as shit. It's book 1 in the Fury Vipers MC. I got this one in a romance reveal box. Dark as fuck. Was not expecting.
I have a new MC. You might have read it. I don't know. But I will send it to you and see if you've read it. But I found a new MC series.
Bet.
Well, one that I've never heard of, so we'll see.
Okay. Then I read The Sterling Boys and Loving War by C.M. Owens. I think it's books 3 and 4 in the Sterling Shore series. I'm currently taking a break from that. Then I read The Twisted series by Anna Hong, all 4 books. They were so fucking good.
About fucking time. Like, I've been one of my favorite so series. Long.
I loved it.
I told you. I was like, oh my God, I love this. And I especially love the second one. But I tried to tell you and you were like, I don't know. The character's name is Ava and I don't really like that first name in books. I just can't connect. I was like, for like a year trying to get you to fucking read it.
So I read all 4 of those. Then I read Bully by Penelope Douglas. Didn't really like that one. It's also like a high school bully romance and it was weird. Then I read Last on the List by Amy Dawes. This is like a nanny and dad relationship, like single father relationship. Super cute. Then I read Haunting and Hunting Adeline. So both the books and the cat and mouse duet by H.G. Carlton.
Another one of my favorites that I've been trying to get her to fucking read. That she's like, I don't know. It sounds scary.
It was mad dark. Check your triggers. Please, 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 please. But I liked it. I really liked it. And then I read Be My Game Changer by Andrea Rouse, R-O-U-S-S-E. I think this one's like a baseball romance, which was really cute. She shows up at his baseball game, like his return after an injury. And she ends up going to the game because her best friend wanted to go. And she just sits and reads a book the entire time. And like he notices her because he's like, he doesn't care. But
why would I
story.
Totally take a book to a sports game that I don't like most sports, okay? Just for everybody listening. I would totally be sitting there with like either my Kindle or a fucking book reading.
I totally agree. Anyway, thank you for listening this week to this episode. If you want to see our book looks, hit us up, just chat or anything. Our TikTok is blues-library. Wow. It's blues.library. Please do not do dash. Blues.library. Instagram is blues.library and blues.library podcast. We are phasing out of using the blues.library podcast. So if you're going to follow one, follow blues.library. Our website is blues-library. So that one actually has a dash in it. And it's blues-library.com. If you could, pretty please rate and review our podcast. We kind of know what you guys like to listen to, what you don't like to listen to. Also, it helps people find us and join the craziness that is the Blues Library podcast. What is our next week's look or book?
God, get it together. Next week's book is Our Violent Ends by Chloe Gong. It is book 2 in These Violent Delights duet. And just a heads up for next week, so then you don't have to start listening to that one and then end up hating it. There are lots of bugs. Lots.
God, so many
bugs. Lots of bugs. Like the first one. So this one had so much more, though, I feel like.
I almost felt like it had less because it was less talk about them.
I don't know. Either way, if you don't like bugs as much as we'll miss you, just don't listen to it. Ashley and I were having so many issues throughout both of these books, like itching and everything, feeling like we had bugs crawling on us. So
it's so gross. Okay. Thanks, y'all. Have a great week. Wear your seatbelt.
Don't drink and drive.
Wear condoms.
Take your birth control. Don't talk to strangers.
Don't get in random cars. Don't run away from your problems.
Don't get in a random van if they're offering puppies.
Or candy.
Free alcohol,
anything, just be safe, guys. Carry a taser, yes. Carry pepper spray, do whatever
if you can. Check your laws in your area, your countries, whatever, because it's not allowed everywhere, Ashley.
That's
remember
true.
We learned that. So check your laws, do what you can to protect yourself, and we will catch you next week. Bye.